Let's turn to page number 81. Page 81.
Front didn't say anything, so I don't know. I was sitting there just a minute ago making faces at Fred, and he ignored me. The reason I done that is because when I'm up here and he's back there, he makes faces at me. So it's all right, Fred. I love you anyway. It's good to be here this morning. The weather is gorgeous, although a little hot. I think we're supposed to get a little bit cooler, and maybe a little less humidity. That'd be nice. Welcome to our visitors. We're glad you're here this morning. Amen. And just invite you to join in with us as we do the best that we can to worship and honor God and sing praises to His name. We're glad you're here. We invite you back any opportunity you get. Russell, where you at? Russell talked to us this morning about our flower bed, and we did have a bunch of doubles. We had a Sam and a Jerry and one Russell. And I was just going to say, Russell, you might ought to recruit you another Russell. Because when I went home, I told Cindy if they didn't like it, I was going to blame it on Sam. And if they did like it, I was going to give Sam the credit.
Talk about covering your bases.
Kind of leaves Russell out in the cold, though. He don't have another Russell. If you get a chance, look at the flower beds. Brother Sam and the two Jerrys and Brother Russell did a good job. Yeah, it looks really good. I like it. We had a good time up here doing it as well. So thank you guys. Appreciate you. Let's see what else is going on. Class was really good this morning. Enjoyed it. I know y'all had a good class time as well. And I am just tickled death being in the house of the Lord. I look forward to it every week. I can't wait to get here. And so good to see Brother Dean here this morning. Amen. All right, a few announcements this morning. Special offering for Brother Walter. Brother Walter had his last chemo treatment, last week? Last week. But as you know, the bills keep coming in, so we've been taking up a special offering for Brother Walter and his family for a while now, and we continue to do so. So the second time the plate is passed, it will be to help offset some of their medical expenses. Wednesday night, the 24th, ice cream provided by Brother Carol, Sister Linda Gale. So if you're not aware, we on our Wednesday night programs during the break from school, we switch over to Bible stories out here and ice cream instead of food on Wednesday night. So it won't be long till we'll be switching back to our Bible study, our adult Bible study class out here. So I encourage you to keep that in mind, as well as pray for the teachers of our youth groups and the leaders. They'll be assuming those roles again here shortly. Summer flies by. It goes by so fast. Also, we got homecoming coming up. Anybody ever been to a homecoming? This means yes. We're having one coming up in August, and so Miss Mary Lou always does a wonderful job of putting photos on the wall back there of past up to present. So if you have any present pictures or up-to-date pictures that you'd like posted out there, please get those to Miss Mary Lou by next Sunday. Okay, I believe August 4th, that night, Brother Yorley's going to be here, so... And I say that like that because when I put it in my calendar, it added it to every date in my calendar for the next 3 years, or as far as I could go. Miss Mandy Buck tried to help me fix that, and she was frustrated when we left here the other Wednesday night, but when I got up the next morning, they were all gone. So she's my hero. But I still don't know exact date. I'll try to figure that out this week. 4th, I believe, though. August 11th, will be our homecoming, celebrating 116 years of service here to the Lord. And I'm thankful for all of those who have been before us, for their dedication to the truth, for proclaiming Jesus Christ, Him crucified. It's up to us, folks, to make sure that this church is here in the future for our kids and grandkids. We'll have a potluck lunch immediately following the morning service and then singing and fellowship. And Junction 5, Brother Gene and Dwight and the other Ford boys, Steve and what's his name? Terry, I know, I'm just messing with you. They'll be here singing for us and provide the music. Also, though, I know if you have a special.
Oh, yeah, anybody that's here that's got a special will sure be able to sing, yeah.
And also, there's a few of y'all sitting out there that I know should be in this choir up here that are not.
Amen.
I'm just saying, you know, what can I say?
I've got one kind of promise next to me.
Okay. One kind of promise? Okay. All right. Nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy, and next Sunday will be Miss Levita and Vicky. Now, they volunteered to get in that rotation, and we're happy to oblige, put them right at the top of the list. That's the way it works. Anything I missed?
Page number 208.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing swords to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home and last, there's ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex the soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever.
It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church this morning. It's good to see everybody out. I'm glad you're here to attend with us. Choir's going to sing a song for you this morning we haven't done in a long, long time. An old, old song, got a copyright of 1950. It's called Life's Railway to Heaven. If you know it, you're more than welcome to sing along.
See this smiling group back there, and I want to ask you to just a little bit different this morning. We're going to stand and have a word of prayer before I start. If you would, please stand. Bow with me, please. Our fathers, we come to you at this time. Lord, we just pray that your word that's spoken here this morning would be used for your honor and your glory. I pray, Lord, that you just use me to be your mouthpiece. Give me the words that you would have me to speak. Give me the strength, Lord, to stand on your teachings. Lord, give us the strength as a church to take it the way it's meant and to apply it to our lives that we might be better and stronger Christians. Lord, I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You'll understand in a minute. We're going to be in Jeremiah 12. And then skipping around a little bit, I'll try to give you time to get to some of the scriptures. I want you to know this morning that I've kind of struggled along with this sermon for a few weeks. Sometimes that's the way it works. I acknowledge this morning that it might not be the most popular sermon, but it's something that we Christians need to hear and figure out where we stand. It will not be politically correct. I can tell you that right now. If you know me very well, you know I'm not very politically correct anyway. But I'm not called to be politically correct. I'm called by God to preach His Word. And I'm really too dumb to know anything else, and that's the way I like it. Okay? I want you to know also when we before we start that the Word of God has not, nor will it ever, change.
Amen.
We're going to start in the Old Testament this morning. I believe that the Old Testament is as relevant to us today as it was when it was written to the Israelites back in the day. We do live under a new covenant, but it does not change the Word. Jeremiah chapter 12. As you turn there, keep this in mind. When you read the Old Testament about the Israelites, you are literally reading about God's chosen people. He called them out from among the heathens. Okay? Y'all know what a heathen is? Let me just tell you what Mr. Webster says. A heathen is of or relating to people or nations that do not acknowledge the God of the Bible. Strange or uncivilized. Some synonyms with that would be barbaric, savage, uncultivated, wild. That's what a heathen is. Now, God called the Israelites out to be a separate people. He told them to be different than the world. When you read the New Testament about the church, I want you to get this now. You're literally reading about God's chosen people. That's us. We are the ones who are called out to be a different people. The Bible tells us that we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And that's what Christians are. The description of heathen applies today. Now think about that for just a minute. We live in a world filled with heathens. There you go, that unpolitically correct stuff, but it is true. People that do not proclaim God in His great glory, acknowledge His dominion, His ruling guide. And it's going to get hot up here this morning. So, God has not changed. And I thank God that He never will. He's still the same God. Okay? Jeremiah 12, beginning in verse 1. And I'll read the scripture now. We'll talk about it for just a minute. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Now, I want you to see what Prophet Jeremiah is saying here. He is saying very plainly this. He's saying, God, you are very righteous with me when I talk to you. God can be nothing but righteous because He is righteous. Okay? So Jeremiah is acknowledging that. But then Jeremiah goes on to say this. But I want to talk to you, God, about your judgments. The wicked are prospering in our time. This is Jeremiah speaking back in the Old Testament time, but think about that for a minute. Jeremiah is saying, you are a righteous God, but I want to talk to you about your judgment. Why are the wicked being blessed and the righteous, or those of us who are trying to live right, seems like can't get ahead at all? That was in Jeremiah's time. Therefore, they are happy when they deal treacherously with us because they always seem to win. You ever had that thought? You ever heard the saying, crime doesn't pay? Well, in our time, in our day, it seems like that crime does pay. Not forever, though. There is a reckoning coming. Okay? But it seems like that people that we deal with today don't care how they treat us Christians because there's no consequences. Okay? Fast forward to our time. The same thing that we read in Jeremiah, the same scenario that we've been talking about this morning is applied to us today. Okay? What's changed since then? Very little. Maybe nothing. If anything, it seems that the people of our day are more brazen in their rejection of God's will in their life. Does it seem to you that the more crooked, the more evil, the more dishonest that you are, the more you're rewarded in this life? You ever seem to deal with folk like that? They're not serving God, and they seem to have all the toys, all the fun, all the money. Nothing ever happens to them. Oh, woe is me. I'm a Christian. I can't. Well, guess what? Praise God, you're a Christian. Because we're just traveling through this life. And this world is not our home. And if we focus only on the things of this world, we are all men most miserable. And we have a brighter future. To me, it's obvious that we're living in a corrupt system. You know why we're living in a corrupt system? Is because that man is not following God's plan. And that corrupts. If you are a professing Christian, and I pray that everyone in here knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if that is you, you are held to a different standard than an atheist, or a Muslim, or a Buddhist, or someone that practices Scientology. You're held to a different standard. You can be anything but a Christian and pretty much say or do anything you want to, and the world applauds you. They hold you up. You can say anything unless you're a Christian. You can call people about anything you want to unless you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you can't say anything without being labeled a racist. That's a dirty word in our culture, is it not? He said that old racist word. Guess what? Let's see what Mr. Webster defines racism as. A belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capabilities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a race or of a particular race. That's really what racism means. Racism today is being used to beat down anyone who disagrees with someone else. If I disagree with how you believe the Bible, then you can call me a racist. And the world will say, oh, he's a racist. Yeah, can't go to that church down there. There are a bunch of racists down there. You're being judged on what your ancestors may or may not have done. Listen really, really close. I want you to get this. I don't care what color you are. God created all mankind. Remember the little song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the little children of the world. And I put a big period at the end of that because God loves everyone. I want you to understand this morning that you are who God made you. And the color of your skin doesn't matter one iota to God. What country you were born in doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is, have you accepted Jesus Christ? Amen. Be proud of who you are. Thank God for who you are. If you're black, be proud you're black and be the best you can be. If you're tan, be proud and be the best you can be. And if you're white, don't apologize for being born white. Just be the best you can be. Okay. Next. Oh boy, you said, I don't care who you are, you cannot change your sexual orientation. I don't care how you feel today, doesn't change who you are. Well, preacher, you just don't know how I feel today. I got up this morning and I felt like being a female, and but I'm plagued with having these male features, and God messed up and he got it all wrong. I've heard that till I am sick of it. Here's what I want you to know. God doesn't make mistakes. He made you who you are for a purpose. And the best advice I can have to you is to embrace who you are and fulfill God's purpose in your life. Satan is telling all kinds of lies out there through, different avenues. But go back in Jeremiah and go back to chapter 1 and go to verse 4. I want you to see what God said. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, are you there? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Let me tell you something, friend. Whenever you were conceived, God knew who you were going to be. And he didn't make any mistakes about it either. Galatians 1:15, I'll read it quickly. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. God knew who the Apostle Paul was when he was conceived. Amen. And God knows who you are. And if you have doubts about who you are, I advise you to find a full-length mirror and look. It's really pretty plain. But I don't feel that way. Well, you know what? This life is nothing but a bunch of choices that we make. And we can choose to honor and serve God, or we can choose to reject Him. And I'm afraid that that's what a lot of the world is doing today, choosing to reject God's choices. When we choose God's way over our own desires or our own pleasures, He gets honor and glory from our choices, friend. When you got up this morning and you chose to come to church here, God got honor and glory from your choice. Because believe you me, I know there are so many things out there in the world you could be doing besides coming to church. But I also know that God will bless you greatly for choosing His way. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And that's what He meant. It hasn't changed. He'll bless us when we choose His way, okay? I know it's not popular in our culture to talk about these things, but don't just listen to me for a minute. These people are not seeking God. They're seeking pleasure in this life. God didn't make Adam and Eve and then say to them, choose which gender you want to be. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. I know I'm pretty simple, but you know what? If God says it to me, that makes it so. And so here we go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, did you hear that? So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Listen, I get so sick and tired of hearing all this garbage that's going on in the world today. We are to give thanks in all things. Be thankful for who you are. God made you. God gave us something that He didn't give the rest of the world. He spoke into existence the earth, the heavens, the animals, the water, the fish, and He created man. He reached down, and from the dust of the earth He formed man in His likeness, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He made us an eternal being. And He gave us a great responsibility. And that responsibility is to care for this world. I think we're probably not doing the best job in the world at that. But He also gives us a great responsibility. We are to preach and teach and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And listen, if we don't know who we are, how can we tell people what God wants them to be? Do you know who you are this morning? And I'm not talking about all that other stuff, but are you a Christian or not? I mean, it's really pretty simple, okay? Give thanks in all things. Honor God. He created you. We belong to Him. Everything you see belongs to Him. Whose church is this? It's not mine. And it's not yours. And if it is, we're in the wrong place. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. He knew you before you were born. He made you who He wants you to be. And I believe that He places people in this church to be the church that He wants it to be for His honor and glory. All right. Here we go again. It does seem that people in our time are getting away with all manner of atrocities. David, that's a good one for you to put in your little book. I can. Get with me after service. It seems like we're dealing with a lot of the same things that Jeremiah was dealing with back in those days. But listen, I got news for you and for the world. I have a news brief. You know, let's do the little ticker tape thing. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And it is as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this," it don't say a judgment, it says the judgment. Okay? Judgment is coming. Okay, but preacher, it don't seem like there's any judicial system that's working properly on this earth today. Well, you know what? I would have to probably agree with that, but I want you to know something. Judgment is coming. A righteous judge is coming. It's going to happen. Turn with me, Matthew 25. We'll read this. If you have a red letter Bible, this is in red, which means that Jesus is speaking. So this is Jesus Himself telling us this. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. Judgment is coming. Excuse me. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Now, I want to stop there for a second. Now, I want to say something that's not popular in the world today. There's a choice that you're going to make. You're going to choose God's way or you're going to choose man's way, and that's the only choice there is. You're going to choose heaven, you're going to choose hell. That's the only choice there is. And when Jesus comes and He sets up His righteous judgment here on this earth, He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. But preacher, all men are created equal. That's what you said earlier. Yes. And Jesus died for us all. The difference is the choice you make. That's what sets us on one side or the other. The choice. So choose wisely. Okay? He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand. Okay? Here's what He's going to say to those who have chosen His way. Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the right. Okay? Either be right or be left behind. Amen? A song, I started to do the lyrics, but I didn't. But it's be on the right side. It sings about the thieves on the cross, and the one on the right was right, and the one on the left was left. Uh, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, if that's not Jesus telling us to love our neighbor as ourself, I'm misreading it. Because when we show love and compassion on the people of the world, we are showing the love of God. And let me tell you something, friend. The church is the only light, true light, in a darkened world. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. He didn't forget them, okay? And contrary to what a lot of people want to tell you today, they don't just go some for a little while and it's okay. God didn't just set them over there and forget about them. The judgment is coming. Address those on the left. Depart from me. You know, if you've heard me preach much, you know that I believe this. I'm going to say it again. The worst thing about hell is not the fire and the brimstone, which I believe is a literal punishment. But the worst thing about hell is that eternal separation from God. Because whenever you stand before Jesus in judgment, and he says, depart from me. Listen, that's a final judgment, and there's no coming back. All of eternity separated from the love of God. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Anybody not understand what everlasting is? Prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Now, I could preach several sermons on this one little scripture here, but here's the truth of the matter. What do we feed people? Is it, you know, I like cakes and pie and ice cream and cake. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the bread of the Spirit. How do we feed people? You want to give them a meal, or do you want to give them everlasting life? Something for you to think about. I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, we live in the greatest country ever known to mankind. Amen. Thank God. I'm blessed to be a part of it. Our government system seems to be getting more corrupt by the minute. You know what it needs? It needs God. Amen. It needs God. It needs Christian people to pray for the leadership of our government. It needs us to stand up for our moral guidelines set forth by God. You want to know why more good Christian people don't run for public office? Is because we won't vote them in and we won't support them when they get there. Oh, but preacher, I voted. Oh, okay. Last time I read a study said that 63% of Americans claim to be Christian. Why is our country in the state that it's in? But now listen, I'm not trying to be political. Here's what I want you to know out of this. A corrupt government or a righteous government is not enough to get you out of this judgment. If you put your faith in this government, in the government of the world or any country, not going to get you out of the judgment of Christ. You're going to stand before Him. Every knee shall confess. Every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess. Okay? So, a corrupt judicial system won't be enough to get you out. You're destined. Okay? Here's something else. Distorting the Word of God to suit yourself and fooling yourself into thinking that it's truth will not exempt you from this judgment. We, here at Oak Hill, worship and honor a righteous God, and His judgment is final. It applies to all classes of people, rich or poor. It applies to all races of people, black, white, yellow, green. I don't care. Jesus died for everyone. And the judgment will be judged on the same standard, and it is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read two verses out of Luke 16. I want you to listen. It's Jesus speaking again, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Let me tell you something, friend. If you go to hell, you will know you're there when you get there. And if you go to heaven, you'll know you're there when you get there. Amen. And we talked about this some last week. When you get to heaven, it's going to be so much better than you can even imagine. Thank God. Friend, my wish for you is that when you stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, that when Jesus looks at you, He sees you through the shed blood that was shed on the cross, and He looks to the Father and He says, "This one belongs to Me." I don't want you to be one of those that is put on the left hand and Jesus says, "Depart from Me," because that's a final judgment. Well, listen, this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're making a choice today, before you leave here, right now, whom you're going to trust and whom you're going to believe. You can choose the pleasure of sin for a season. That's what this old world is built upon. But it's going to come to an end. I just wish the world could listen to what I said this morning, because God is right. And the world is left. But Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. And that includes each and every one of us here today. The men who reject Jesus Christ are the ones that's leading people to a devil's hell. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I love that scripture. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, this old world would have us to just think that it's okay to be anything you want to be, but God doesn't function that way. God expects us to follow His teachings. God expects us to stand on His principles. God expects us to preach and teach to the world that there's only one name under heaven given whereby men might be saved. And His name is Jesus Christ. The world will ridicule us. The world will call us all kinds of names. But I want to tell you something, friend. We should not worry about what the world says. We should be concerned about what Jesus is going to say to us when we stand before Him. Amen. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Gene? if you'd come, and Linda Gale, if you'll stand with me, please, for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you, we're so thankful, Lord, for Jesus and what he did for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, just me. But I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for the world, for each and every one that's ever been conceived, that your blood covers all sin when we accept you as Lord and Savior. If there's any here this morning, Lord, that don't know Jesus, that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I beg of you that the Spirit would convict and draw them that they might come to know you before it's eternally too late, because judgment is coming, and it may be soon. I don't know, Lord, when you're going to send Jesus back, but I pray it be soon. But also pray for the lost round about. Lord, if there's any here this morning that needs to make a move for you in any way, maybe they know Jesus, maybe they need to dedicate their life or rededicate their life, or you know what you want them to do. Press upon them, Lord, with leadership of the Spirit, that your will would be done in each and every one of our lives today. I thank you for the grace that is sufficient to cover all sin. In your precious Son's name I pray. Amen.
Page 185.